Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah Bonbronic. In 1995, Sarah's genre-defining book, Simple Abundance, spent over a year at number one on the New York Times bestseller list and has sold nearly 5 million copies to date. Now, 15 years later, Sarah returns with Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity. It's the story of Sarah's spiritual journey from prosperity to destitution to peace, and her guide for women who have lost their financial and spiritual way to get a fresh start. Sarah has proved to be the voice of comfort for years to women who are spiritually bankrupt, and now she reaches out to those who are financially strapped, showing them how to pull themselves out of their spiritual and fiscal crisis while providing deep comfort and reassurance throughout. With Sarah Bonbronic, we go inside the pages of Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity, published by Grand Central Publishing. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris.
Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity. I think that's the key word. When I first saw it, I thought it said security, and I went, nope, wait a minute, it's serenity.
Yes, serenity. And that is absolutely, it is the key word, because we've all learned now, very, very sharp learning lessons, that there is no such thing as security, especially financial security. But when we opt out for, an illusion, for achieving an illusion, which will never come to anything, we can exchange it for serenity, which for me is attainable only one day at a time through one day's grace. I think when you seek serenity in your life, what you're really seeking is to walk your daily round with God and with grace. And grace for 24 hours has never been a prayer that has ever been denied me.
Well, it's all gift, isn't it? I mean, ultimately.
Oh, it's all gift. It's hard to see the tough financial times that we're all in. It's very hard to see how foreclosure of your home could be a gift, or how losing your job and you have a family could be your gift, or having had your pension wiped out, which you so faithfully put in and saved for decades. These are real, very difficult gifts. And I've come to believe in my spiritual walk that what doesn't appear as a gift, a spiritual gift, goes back to the old lessons that, somebody, the devil meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. God can change around what was ill and, restore the years that the locusts have eaten. These are all, prayers and moments that I've meditated on and found great solace in on the peace and plenty path.
Well, Sarah, I think your message is an important one for today. Again, there are so many of us out there who have, we thought we were on the right path. We thought we were doing everything we're supposed to do. This was supposed to enhance our security. And all of a sudden, boom, a job is gone, or boom, something's happened way off in a different city that affected what we thought was our security blanket. Mm-hmm. And maybe what we shouldn't be looking for, it from what I hear you saying in the book and just in your speaking now, is that maybe it's not the security blanket, it's even that serenity prayer. That's what we have to try to rest in.
Yes, and to rest in and to move forward in. When I do my prayers in the morning, I say, please don't let there be anything in the course of this day that can't be handled by you, by heaven, by God, with God's grace and my action or inaction. Mm-hmm. it's really listening for what we're told. It's very hard to think, and it's also hard to think that we have difficulty believing that money is a spiritual lesson, and it certainly is. When I say, I remember and I point out and I say, we're told that to render to God the things that are God, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. There was a distinction between the man-made laws of money and and the spiritual laws of money, but we weren't told, you know, pick one. Mm-hmm. We were told we were to master mm-hmm. both of them.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's getting the priority straight. And Sarah, of course, you can talk because you have literally, you talk the talk, but you have walked the walk. I mean, this is the woman from the multi best-selling book, Simple Abundance. And I mean, and at that point, you really had done extraordinarily well. And by the world standards, you succeeded in a phenomenal way. And yet, it even touched you.
Well, yes, but you know, no, Chris. When I think back, and there were many times over the in the last decade, but certainly in the last 5 years, which were very difficult. And when I would say to myself, well, maybe this is the other part. You can't teach about lack and abundance if you don't really understand lack. And the difference was in between peace and plenty. And my first bestseller, Simple Abundance, which was published 15 years ago, was that Simple Abundance was about using gratitude as the prism with which to look at all the facets of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, really adopting gratitude. And then Peace and Plenty came at the other end. You know, people cycles of change always occur. The rich become poor, the poor become rich, you know, the downtrodden are risen, and then the mighty fall. I mean, it's all cycles of change. But when you think of the lack part of going from lack to abundance, you know, really learning lack, it wasn't my plan, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And yet I can see how I've arrived back at the place that I need to be with my work, because there are so many, you know, millions of people and women that are experiencing what I went through, and I can help them. I always think that I can help them as a friend, that I'm just like a scout. I've just gone ahead of the wagon train. It's not necessarily that I, you know, have it all mapped out.
Or though there are those out there who are wondering, well, what did she go through? What brought her to this point?
Well, what brought me to the point was I went overnight from being a freelance writer to being a millionaire entrepreneur. And I had the skills of a mother and a freelance writer and a nationally syndicated columnist, and I'd had two books under my belt. But to suddenly have to be running a business that was bringing in millions of dollars, I didn't have those skills. I wanted to share my money. I created the Simple Abundance Charitable Fund and gave away $1.5 million and to 100 nonprofits, and that gave me great joy. But I did not see as the good stewardess of my money that I needed to be able to take care of myself. And money sort of was just deposited into the bank account. It became a number on a computer screen. And to tell the truth, I had so many flush years, and the book was still in such demand that I believed if I was doing if I was doing the best at my work, then the money would follow. Well, that had happened. But what happens after the money follows is that we need to learn how to manage the money. Mm-hmm. And this is why I went, back after, I made bad decisions through the best of intentions. I trusted people without knowing, giving them enough time to discover whether they were worthy of trust. Didn't trust my own instincts because I thought, well, they must know because they've had experience, with man-made money, and I don't. It never occurred to me that I could learn it, and it happened. It just happened like dominoes. Mm. So then you get to a point where, well, I have to start all over again.
Right.
And that was the beginning of Peace and Plenty.
It sounded like you went through a real fire, a true, if not physical suffering, a real emotional suffering, especially when you made those realizations.
Yes, and I felt I'd let God down. I felt, here I'd been given this incredible gift, and I've mishandled it. I haven't been a good steward. And it took me so long to realize. It took me years. My great struggle was to forgive myself. God forgave me the moment I said, I should have asked you. I should have consulted in you. You know, as a writer, I would never sit down any day and start writing without praying to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and that I could be a servant of the work, in that whatever I was writing, there would be somebody who needed to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that faith and in that trust, I was then serene as I went about my work. I never thought to pray to God as my business manager. Mm-hmm. I never thought to pray to go to the Lord and say, I'm confused. I learned firsthand why Solomon, when he was offered riches of the world or wisdom, said, you know, wisdom, and then he got both. And on this path, as I am talking to you, you know, I realized that, well, none of the steps were wasted, because when we ask for serenity instead of security, financial security, what we're really doing is we're doing Solomon's prayer. Please give me wisdom and discernment to handle my money.
Right.
To take care of my family, you know.
Well, in the end, it's when we do face him in that moment when he asks us, what do you have to show me? He's not going to be looking at the cars and the houses and all the things, will he?
Well, if that question comes today, the Lord knows that I don't have those things again today. But, you know, we're on the road back, and I never would have thought that, you know, finding the years that, you know, the locusts have eaten, having, you know, the restoration. The journey of restoration is one, two, an adventure that I wouldn't have chosen, but it's one that I'm so grateful that I'm back on.
Well, I suspect what you'll have to show him is instead all of those you helped lead them to him, so that they will place their trust in him and the lives that can be changed, especially when you're living in a country that is very, it really lifts up the individual and the person, and a culture that says continue to spend, continue to buy, continue to do all this, because that's what will define you and bring you joy. And as you're so beautifully telling everyone, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's a lovely way of saying it, Chris. That's not necessarily the case. Yeah.
No, it isn't. So what are the things in Peace and Plenty that you hope to pass on to others as you continue on this journey of learning and allowing the Lord to take care of things, all things?
Well, I really want us to get back to the idea that it's not just the earning of the money or the gathering of the money, that it's really the right apportionment. I was delighted to discover that the word thrift actually comes from the old English word to thrive, and that homemakers and housekeepers in decades before us, and I was very struck by, I wanted to go back to find out how women coped during the Great Depression and how they coped during the war front years. And when I went back to the original source material, which were their magazines of the time and homemaking books, you know, home economics was the new science. And I wanted to go back to how they managed. And, you know, I discovered just old-fashioned practices of the envelope system, taking the money. I think this is very important for us today. We need to understand money as real currency. Yes, money is the exchange of services on a spiritual level, but we need to understand what money feels like, hold it, see how far it goes, save it, apportion, you know, how we spend our time, our money, our energy, and that's all part of coming to on the path of serenity. And then I think that women traditionally had difficulty with money because we were never taught money as a lesson for women. I'm bad at math. Well, how many times did we hear that at school? And so we were taught, and what we don't understand, we fear. So then it's the natural default position for the woman to let her husband handle the money. But not during the Great Depression, not during times of crises. Women held the purse. It's often said as a criticism that women are supermarket shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I say, yes, Yes, but that is a compliment. That is not criticism, because women know the price of everything, but we also know the value of something. And that's what we have to learn, too, on the peace and plenty path.
Well, there are so many different sources that you pull from, a lot of experiences from others. What are some of the most compelling that you've encountered in compiling Peace and Plenty?
Well, the one that struck the most for me, the one that was the mirror for my own experience, was the Anglo-Indian writer Rumer Gaudin. She lived from 1907 to 1998. She wrote the novel Black Narcissus, became the famous film.
And In This House of Brie, too.
And she wonderful, In This House of Brie. Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I love that one. She had the remarkable ability to write 57 books and, you know, to make homes all over the world. But it was her struggle with finances and her marriage and discovering that, you know, her husband, who had been a stockbroker, had really philandered the money and it was all gone. And she had two children, and she was in the period of what should have been her greatest triumph with Black Narcissus, and she suddenly discovered she had nothing. He'd even sold the furniture underneath her.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Left her nothing, and she had to start over again. And her lessons that I gleaned from her memoirs, where she said, you know, she needed to be private about the money. She needed to keep it to herself, because in the past what she'd done, since she wanted her husband to feel like the head of the family, she would write him checks from her royalties for him to handle their family business, and of course the money disappeared. So it was just the fact that she could start over again so beautifully. But I know from my own experience how difficult it must have been for her to get out of bed every morning and to start over from scratch, and to have to reclaim 10 field in the battle that while you were sleeping, you know, to have to come back and start over again every single day. That was just, you know, knowing that there was a woman that I loved and I respected and I knew as a godly woman, very spiritual woman, and that she was experiencing, just these great challenges, gave me comfort, because I felt, oh, heaven, thank you. She's given me a template. And I really believe that what one woman has done and what God has done for one person, he can do for me and more, if that's what my real path is. And if that I want that with a passion. And if I can pray and bring it to God. You know, there were so many times I was really struck when I was thinking about myself. Because, as I said, you know, as a writer, I would never begin a project without bringing it to the Lord and asking for grace and discernment and asking how to go. I'm just fascinated by how I didn't think to consult God financially. That's been probably one of the biggest lessons for me, which is why I know I'll be all right.
From what I hear you saying, Sarah, not only in your own experience, whether in family, in those business associates and friendships that you gave trust to, and the trust was broken. And like Rumer Gaudin, it's the same situation. You give trust to, and it's broken. And when we place our trust in man, though we want to believe they're all worthy, that ultimately, even when they let us down, which we will, that's just the nature of our, what the condition we're in, that the trust can be found in God, that in all things, he wants it all, even those dark, scary corners and the places that are the most painful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, yes, he wants it all, and he especially wants our shame and our guilt and our feelings of anger and desire for revenge. I understand it now so much deeper, and I've just had insights. This is what you meant. it's like awakening every day. That it's because heaven can do everything so much easier for us, and we don't. The hardest thing to do in the last 10 years has been to forgive myself. But God forgave me the moment I turned to Him. The journey has been so long because I didn't realize that if God could forgive me, I could start over immediately.
I think that reflects one of the chapters in your book, first the gesture, then the grace. And again, and some there's so much in Peace and Plenty, and there's also, you know, those concrete helps, and how to talk to your husband about money, how to, what to look for, and even like so many that have to deal with the reality of foreclosure and bankruptcy and so many other things, that there is a light at that tunnel. I mean, there is a reason to get out of that bed.
And you might be in that bed, that all you have to say is, God, please help me get out of the bed today. And another lesson that I feel that I've learned is, you know, we can't get the spiritual help if we don't ask for it. And also, you know, when you think of the Israelites in the desert and the manna from heaven, you know, God provided for them every day, but they couldn't hoard. They had to trust that it would be there the next day. So I think that all of these are the little lessons on leaving the path, the illusion of security, and trying to go for financial serenity. Yeah. And it, you know, when we're talking about it, it seems so wondrous the way that out of such dark times, out of, I know what it is like to have the bank foreclose. You know, I know what it is like to not have health insurance. I know what it is not like not to have a home of your own for a year. And when you understand this, you do just want to ask for wisdom, wisdom and compassion. I think that we need to have active compassion. And I also think that women, I want to take away, help them take away the shame and the guilt from past money mistakes. That's really what I think I set out to do, to have a conversation with the reader, an intimate conversation, and say, you know, we need to forgive ourselves. And this is how I did it. And maybe this will work for you.
Well, even for those who, I think, in Peace and Plenty, the book that you bring forward, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity, that there are those who didn't make mistakes, that total acts outside of their ability to be able to control any of it, they still experience loss in this realm. I mean, even if they did everything to the letter, there are circumstances that will come along, you know, whether, I know so many people after the horrific occurrences on 9/11 in different states affected by tourism or affected by other things, all of a sudden, boom, there's a loss. And even in this last round that's gone through, you can do everything the way you're supposed to, and it still can be taken away.
Yes, yes, yes. And that has to be absolutely the most difficult, because did everything. You thought you're relationship with God, it was, you know, chief in your life. And there are just some spiritual lessons that we cannot learn unless we experience them. And we experience them, I think, so that we can become closer to not only God, but to our family, to our children, to the people that we love. And then it ripples out. Unless you have, you know, unless you've experienced when you don't have health insurance and you have a sick child, or you're sick yourself, you delay going because you don't have health insurance, or you've had a bailiff knock on your door, I mean. And you did, I say in the first essay in the book, first you cry because, what do you mean all the money's gone? I did everything right. This is when we really need to turn to God. Because that's what I meant when I said God says, you know, about our anger, which I do say, you know, is a spiritual gift. Anger can get us moving forward. But revenge and you, bringing justice, you know, I mean, God says, give it to me. And if you're to do anything, I'll tell you how to do it. But if not, you're to, you know, use this day. Just start over again. Continue starting over again. But when we're brought up, see, I wanted my reader to know I have been brought up short, and I know the fear. Money fears just bring, you know, real fear. Money fears are just cyclical, and they will wake you up at night, and they will haunt you all day long like a shadow. You can just go in a downward spiral. But what we were doing in Peace and Plenty is trying to take practical steps, as well as philosophical and spiritual, but take steps that would bring moments of contentment, moments of serenity. Peace and Plenty is a book that, like I think Simple Abundance, where you read it once and you get the gist of it, then you go back and you start reading it again. And when I read it again, Chris, you know, I'll say, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if, how did these words appear on the page?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and Sarah, I just lift up Peace and Plenty and Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity as a tremendous resource for those who have that ache or they know somebody who is going through that suffering. It sounds, again, as though you have gone through that true sense of discernment, going from the moment of just reacting to actually discerning, resting with God, listening first to Him, and then taking the steps if presented to you. That was the key that I heard in your own experience, is that first comes the true, deep listening, and then take it from there. Any final thoughts?
Any final thought? Oh yes. Just that I really mean this, that there is nothing that will happen today that you, being guided by the grace of God, cannot handle. You can surmount your difficulties, and serenity is achieved, you know, one prayer at a time, one action at a time, one being quiet to listen, and it's all going to be all right. It really will be. It's not necessarily going to be what we expected, but with the grace of God, it will be all right.
Well, God bless you for everything you're doing, and I just I hope that every day brings you that source of serenity.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you. It was a lovely conversation.
With Sarah Bond Bronick, we've been going inside the pages of Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity. To learn more about this book and to visit Sarah Bond Bronick on the internet, go to simpleabundance.com. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.